From Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house, you're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And it is Tuesday the 29th, I believe. And if you're listening on Tuesday the 29th of 2008, then this show is live. And as you know, when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mother confessor, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your daughter of the American Revelation, your pleasure preacher. That's right, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. I try to practice what I preach, and I am a hedonist, an ethical hedonist, but I do enjoy the pleasures of life. I try to help you to enjoy the pleasures of life, and to try not to hurt anyone, including yourself. And that's what we talk about here on the Dr. Susan Block Show on Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web, Worldwide Revolution, Worldwide Sexual Revelation. And you can talk about anything you like here on Radio Susie One if you're listening live. And it is Tuesday, the 29th of January, 2008. You can talk about your sex life, your love life, your life, life beyond you, you know, politics, the war, the election, your erection. Many different subjects are open to
what
us.
Is on your mind tonight,
yes,
my dear friends.
Whatever is on your mind,
yes.
Or between your legs.
Or between your legs.
Or in your heart. We go for all the organs.
Hey, Dr. Susie, you're going to Yale, huh?
Yeah, but I want to give the phone number first.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm doing this pitch to call.
Oh, all
so,
right,
okay.
Sorry about that.
Yep, don't interrupt the pitch,
but
we'll go to the next base, which is Yale. Okay, so if you're listening to me in North America, you can call our toll-free number at 1-866-289-7068. If you're anywhere else in the world, you can always call our regular number, which is 213-749-1330. And if you're in Skype, all you Skypers, you can put yourself into the waiting room, and I will put you into the talking area. We can talk.
We also have a number in Germany now.
We do,
yes.
But I don't have that in front of me,
okay.
Do I? I don't know. No. I don't have it, no.
It's an 800 number. You can find it if you're listening in Germany. You can find it at the Dr. Susan Block Institute, or on the front cover, actually,
mm-hmm.
On the front page of drsusanblock.com. That's drsusanblock.com. And you can find the number there. So we're
very excited because we're going to Sex Week at Yale. It's our fourth annual Sex Week at Yale, semi-annual, biannual. I guess it would be bi, because it's a little bit liberal, right?
Right.
Bi. So we're going to be at Sex Week at Yale, and I'm going to be giving a lecture, or a tea, really, not a lecture.
A master's tea.
At Saybrook College at Yale University, my old residential college, in the home of Master Mary Miller. And the subject is sexuality and spirituality, or sex and God. Which do you think sounds more interesting?
Well, sex and God is pretty common.
Pretty common.
Well, sex and God is just like, you know, there's books, sex and God. No?
I don't know.
What's the other one?
Sexuality and spirituality.
I like that. Sounds better.
Sexuality and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, because that is also the name of the panel that comes afterwards.
Okay.
So I was trying to come up with something different for the tea.
Yes.
But you want to call them the same thing?
I'm just blathering
Well, I know we're blathering. Okay. So, but that's a decision to make.
Yes.
I guess is should we call it sexuality and spirituality, or sex and God? Because we already are calling the panel sexuality and spirituality. Or no, I think he's calling it sex and spirituality. Maybe there's too many alities.
Sex is good. Sex and spirituality.
Sex and spirit.
Sex and spirits.
Sex and the spirits.
I think, yeah, because there's spirituality, you know.
Sex and the spirits. Well, would that include there's Jim Beam?
Jim Beam could be considered a spirit.
You know, the
by
thing about Mary Miller is she doesn't drink alcohol.
Well, but she's very funny. I gave her a bottle of absinthe, and she's right.
And she looked at it like, oh, my God, you gave me a bottle of poison.
But it was
but
rare.
She smiled.
Yeah, she
half,
smiled.
You know.
No, she's very gracious.
Oh, she is. You know. She's a very, very nice lady. But she's very cool. She's an art history professor.
Right.
And very up on ancient Mexican art.
And I'm sure that her friend, when we were at that lecture, told her who he'd met in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so she's probably very aware of that now.
Right. Her friend, yes. Yes, right, who recognized you.
My name.
Your name.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
anyway, back to sex and the spirits. So, you know, I mean, Saybrook is like a non-drinking college, but the spirits, it's almost irresistible to compare, like, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and many spirits.
And the spirit of, you know, absinthe.
Right, the spirit of a car, the spirit of many, I mean, you know. I mean, even cars have spirits. Did you know that?
Yes. Cars do have spirits, of course.
Right.
I mean, anything can have a spirit because it's a made-up concept. It's a human concept.
I believe there's spirit cigarettes, too, if I'm not mistaken.
American spirit.
Yeah, American spirit, right?
Right.
Right. And then there's the whole spirit thing about being an American.
Yeah. There's a lot of use of the word spirit. I almost wonder if it's a little too flaky, a word. It's like it means too many things.
Well, that's why I think when they use it in the sense of religion and sexuality, it's like cars have spirits. What is the big, you know, well, we'll get into that.
No, let's get into that.
I always, you know, when I meet people, and whether they're religious or New Age.
Right. Well, New Age people, it's a kind of religious approach to life that isn't the Judeo-Christian, but it is still almost like an animistic religion, where everything has a spirit, and astrology rules your lives, and, you know, there's a lot of hocus-pocus to it.
Right.
Maybe
right.
as much as the Catholic religion or any of these religions, and maybe more.
I think they're exactly the same, actually. I mean, whenever I talk to anyone who's involved in these movements, I'm very spiritual. I don't have sex that way. Well, I mean, you know, how do you have sex?
Yeah, that's always a good question of the spiritual people.
You know.
Well, they might have...
Spiritual people never talk about it.
But they might have sex a little more liberally than... The religious Christians and Jews and Muslims who would say you only have sex in marriage for procreation purposes only, you know, in the missionary position with the lights out. So the spiritual people might, you know, they might give that a little more give and have sex outside of marriage, but they would only do it in a certain way, perhaps. But you could say they have a fetish. I don't think... I don't know. They seem a little more liberal. They don't necessarily say everybody else is going to hell.
Right.
You know? They're a little more open-minded.
Oh, no,
but
no,
yes,
no, right.
They do still have that religious organizational mentality of, you know, everything is invested with this magical property, and sex especially is just full of
And is that woman...
Hocus Pocus.
You were telling me about that woman that's going to be on the...
Well, she's certainly not a New Age
panel
person.
Who basically says that once you have sex, that should be the commitment for life. You
now,
should get
let
married
let me go into her.
Babies.
Let me just have a look at her here, because she might be an interesting...
Now, see, Italians are very spiritual.
Yeah, well, she sort of converted to Italian. Yeah. Oh, no, she converted to Catholicism.
Well, but Italians have sex, but only when they're in love.
Wait a second. What is her name? Dawn. It's a made-up type name.
Yeah.
Dawn Eden. I mean, do you think that's her real name, Dawn Eden? I don't know.
Is that a Jewish name? She's Jewish.
It doesn't... Well, Dawn could be, but
yeah,
Eden... Yeah.
That could be her writer's name, though, is when she wrote rock and roll reviews or whatever she did.
Right. She started out by writing rock and roll reviews, and then she wrote, I guess she converted to Christianity. She converted to Catholicism.
Mm.
Here, this is in her own words on her website. DawnEden.com. Welcome. I am the author of The Thrill of the Chaste, Chaste, Finding Fulfillment While Keeping Your Clothes On. You know, it's funny. I almost wrote a book called How to Turn Him On Without Taking Your Clothes Off.
Right.
And so I'm all for that, you know.
She goes a step further.
She goes a step further because, you know, she's got a blog. It says, and I blog at the Dawn Patrol.
The Dawn Patrol.
Right. In 2007, my talks to young adult groups and college students took me from UC Berkeley to University College Dublin and Farm Street Church in London and about 45 places in between. See, she's running around the whole college circuit.
Right, right.
At the time I wrote my book, I was working as assistant, later deputy news editor of the New York Daily News. Before that, as a copy editor for the New York Post, I penned a headline that won the 2004 New York State Associated Press Award.
What was it?
The headline. Okay, let's see what the headline was. Hurt in Line of Duty. Okay, I think this had to do with some guy who didn't clean up some animal poop or something that was a government worker. So it was Hurt in Line of Duty.
Oh,
Duty,
I see.
Spelled D-O-O-D-Y.
Oh, how cute.
So she got an award
for
potty humor. Essentially, for toilet humor. This is a woman who got an award for toilet humor.
Now, you should mention that, perhaps.
She seems very proud of it.
She says that that's what
yeah,
it is?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, I mean, it clicks through right to that, and that's
right.
What it
okay.
is. And right. She's certainly not trying to hide that. No, she's pointing right to it.
Well, you know, I find...
No, she is one of the representatives of the young, hip chastity duty and things
I
like that.
I find that a lot of those people have a kind of ha-ha duty kind of jokes they make.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They talk about poop, and they talk about this, and they talk about that.
Well, a lot of people talk about poop.
Yeah,
I mean, people that are into sex, people that are not into sex.
But
everybody's into poop,
because
we do it every day if we're healthy.
I think religious people talk a lot about it.
You know, maybe they do.
They do.
Maybe they're, just mired in poop.
Well,
you know?
I don't know about that, but they do talk about that. So, anyway.
Well, so anyway,
Okay.
She's writing about...
So she's the Catholic right-wing crackpot. Who else is on the panel?
Okay. The other guy that's on the panel... Gosh,
now,
I forget his name.
You know what... I really would like to ask this woman...
Yeah.
What she thinks about all these Jews in hell that will never be... That perhaps will get out, and all the dead babies before Christ. I mean, there's... Literally hundreds of thousands of millions of people sitting in purgatory.
Purgatory.
Yeah.
I
would like
what's the other place? There's two places. I get confused.
There's
purgatory.
There's purgatory and there's heaven.
No, there's another place, too.
I don't think so.
No, there's a place that's... Okay, purgatory.
There's in between.
And there's another place that's more kind of limbo. It's
limbo.
Called limbo.
Yeah.
Right. Limbo right. is different
no,
than
No, these
purgatory.
Guys are in limbo.
They're in limbo.
All
exactly.
these people are in limbo.
Because purgatory, you know,
they
you can get out of
right,
there, but you can't really
right.
get out of limbo.
This is
You're
like,
stuck in limbo.
This is
that's
like a
the
game.
Nature of limbo. And so you have to do the limbo with
question.
The bamboo thing.
That is
and
really,
you have to just keep, and it kills your back after a while.
That's really a question that I would like to ask her.
Yeah.
What about all these babies who were born before Christ,
uh-huh.
who are in limbo?
Now, I don't know that she subscribes to all the
Wait
Catholic
a minute. No, no.
views.
If she's Catholic, if she's talking like, well, we can ask her. She can
yeah.
say, I don't know about it.
Well, yeah.
Or I don't subscribe to
but
it.
But she definitely subscribes to the idea that abortion is murder
right.
and
overpopulation is joy.
I suppose,
yeah.
you know, because she actually, I read something about her, not on her site, but there's something where she says something to the effect of, if you're not doing it to make babies, it's not really sex.
What?
Right, something like that. Like somehow, it's very convoluted, but somehow that sex is not sex unless you're doing it to make babies. That's
oh, okay,
the best
all right,
kind of
okay,
sex.
Yeah, that's all right. The other one is evil sex. It's pleasure sex.
Pleasure sex
yeah.
is... I guess what she's trying to say is that it's evil, yeah.
The
and
other,
that it's really not as good. That it's somehow half-assed, you
right.
know.
The other thing that would be interesting for me to ask her is what about a baby that comes out of a one-night stand? Isn't that glorious that a child was born...
Well, she would say, sure, yeah. I
yeah.
mean, well, but I mean, she would not want to have an, you know, say the woman should not be allowed to have an abortion.
Yeah, but even if they never got married, even if they left and never saw each other.
Well, she would say that yeah. that's better than aborting the child.
I don't know if she'd say that.
Yes, she would. Oh, of course she
yeah,
would.
Okay.
Of
well,
course.
She's Jewish, so she's very flexible.
No, she's pretty anti. No, she's not Jewish anymore.
No, remember, keep in mind.
Although, of course, Jewish people that convert
mind,
always maintain their Jewishisms.
Keep in mind that up until now, and still today, although it's changed a little bit, a child that was born out of wedlock was a what?
A bastard.
Right.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine a child of God, if God is there, all of a sudden that this child, because he's born out of wedlock, is a bastard, and must, and for many, you know, for years, if you were a bastard child, you had problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you still have a few problems, not so many.
No,
but
now nobody knows who's who. You know, we're all equal now under the guidance of the universe.
Yeah, yeah. But if the father isn't around,
no,
then...
No, but here's what we all are. We're all humans.
Yeah.
We're not bastards anymore. I rarely hear that term anymore, except in business.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that she talks much about that. I mean, you don't want to just ask her stuff about... stuff that isn't what she talks about. She's basically talking about chastity for...
Well, but the bastardism and all that is about chastity. What if you fall down once again and in a drunkard state, you know, even as a Catholic, you know, have sex?
Well...
It's all about, you know, that's
yeah,
what she's talking
I mean,
about.
I imagine what she would say would be the negative... results from that would be multiple, not just the bastard, but also you're
her,
degraded, you know, you're sullied, you know, there's a lot of different negative things that would happen.
Why should I suffer from falling? Should I suffer that kind of thing from whether it's Catholic or Jews? How unspiritual.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, to say that I will suffer because I fell off the wagon, let's say, And therefore, because that happened, I must suffer all these things. Well, I don't think that in a civilized Christian world, we should be much more compassionate.
Well, I think she's, I don't know, I gotta read a little bit more here, but I think what she's trying to say is that somehow celibacy and chastity is like a really cool lifestyle for
like
the modern single.
Right, it's like the Virgin Mary. It's like going back into time.
Yeah,
right.
The Virgin Mary,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about the Virgin Mary.
It's like going back
New Virgin Mary?
Is she? No, not her. She's been laid before.
Well, yeah, but one thing she's saying is it's a new chastity. See, chastity doesn't mean virginity. It's true. So Mary was a virgin.
It's Susan in the Catholic religion.
But it's kind of related, the whole chastity,
yeah,
virginity
there's
thing.
There's, you know, chastity is as ancient as the times, ancient times. So
yeah.
it's not much different. By the way, do we have the show on hold?
Don't know.
Alrighty.
But we have Richard who wants to talk about masturbation, which is
something that she's against. Totally against.
Yes, she is against that.
Alrighty,
so that's an
go.
Interesting subject.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Are you the person?
I cannot understand you, Richard. Speak more clearly.
Are you Dr. Susan?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Dr. Susan. How are you?
I am well, Richard. How are you?
I'm okay. I just inquire that only a telephone sex therapy.
You inquired about telephone sex therapy, yes.
Right. So.
And they told him to call.
And they told you to call the show.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. So you must not have wanted to get
okay.
telephone sex therapy. So what did you want to talk about on the show?
Regarding about the... Because I'm very... I don't know. A day is... I have 10 times masturbation.
Every day you masturbate?
Yeah.
And how often do you masturbate? You masturbate once a day or more than once?
More than once. Every day.
Ten times?
Yeah.
You masturbate 10 times every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
How old are you?
That's a lot. How old are you?
I'm 25 years old. Mm.
25? Okay. Well, you're young.
How about you?
Me?
Yeah.
How old am I or how many times do I masturbate?
Yeah.
Oh, I masturbate probably, you know, a few times a week. I like to masturbate, but not quite as often as you.
Well, but I just asked regarding, this is a free call?
Yes, it's a free call.
Free, because you're on the air.
So, where do you live now?
Where do I live?
Yeah.
Did you want to talk to me about masturbation, or you want to try to, you know, set a masturbation date with me?
Yeah, but...
Ah, well then I'm not going to tell you where I live. I was going to otherwise. No, I wouldn't tell you where I live. We're on the air, Richard. Do you want to know about your masturbation, or did you have a question? I mean, I'm... Oh. There you go.
Okay.
He didn't like that.
Mm. So,
back to chastity.
Yes. So, anyway, I think that just the fact that she calls it a new chastity... is, like, ridiculous.
Well, what she's saying is, even if you're not a virgin, you're a single woman, you should stop having sex until you get married.
It's a ridiculous concept.
Yeah, you know. It's a fetish almost, I think. It's like, it's not a fetish exactly.
No, it'll make you sick. It's dangerous.
Well, here's what'll make you sick.
It's dangerous.
I agree that it will make you sick because she says no masturbation too. No masturbation.
Right.
I mean, okay, I can understand laying off the guys for a while, you know,
listen,
too many penises in your life, you got to take a break.
Are studies after studies today. These are the same people that do not want to accept the reality. You know, they're idealists. Okay.
In fact, one of my cardinal rules one of my tenets of my theory of how to turn a man on without taking your clothes off is that you should masturbate before your date so that you feel pretty calm and satisfied and you don't need him for sex. So, you know, I mean, she's just asking for people to break her rules because there are just too many rules. The box is too small.
Absence works, but abstinence doesn't.
Absinthe?
Works, but abstinence.
Can't hack abstinence? Try absinthe.
Right. Truly. all the studies there, too, where they've been teaching this to kids, there is no difference in when kids have sex or when it all starts. Kids are very interested in sex at a very young age.
Yeah.
You know, and rightfully so, because they have feelings.
Let's see. Let's get to the bottom of this, and just in our analysis. And we don't know this woman that, you know, that wrote this book that we're going to meet, actually. Maybe she's a nice person. We might like her.
Listen, Hitler was a nice person.
True. So, true. We might have liked him.
You know.
You know.
And everybody says that George is very nice.
I have heard that.
So that doesn't count.
No.
What counts is the damage.
Dawn Eden. We don't know her, but let's just try to figure out what is going on here. I mean, why do religions in general, organized religions, try to control sexuality?
A membership.
Exactly. Membership drive for the religion. They
right.
want more people in the religion. They
Money.
Want you to
right.
focus your sexuality into making right. babies to have more members of the religion because
right.
they figure you'll raise the babies in your religion,
right.
which is, you know,
and that religion,
true.
That religion will benefit. It's like the phone company. The more subscribers you have,
yeah.
the more money you make. That's basically
right.
It.
Now, that's always been the case with religion, but the Catholic Church thought of this really interesting twist. They took a cultish idea, which was the idea of a celibacy being somehow better than having sex. You know, and they made that into a virtue, and they made that into a mainstream virtue, which was really incredible. Because in Roman times, you know, the Romans thought, well, yeah, we have to have everything in moderation, and we should focus some of the sex drive into procreation, and we should have stable families. But there is a certain element of sexuality that goes beyond procreation. That's about touch, and that's about connection, and that's about communicating, and that's about feeling good. And that's okay, you know, I mean, within reason, it's okay, according to the Greeks, the Romans, a lot of cultures. But Paul, who was, some say, a frustrated homosexual, and St. Augustine, he had love affairs with sort of women from the other side of the tracks that his mother, who was very wealthy, disapproved of, and so in his middle age, he started speaking out against sex, you know.
Mm.
And so this idea of abstinence being this incredible great virtue became really mainstream. And now we have this woman, this Jewish woman, picking up the banner, becoming Catholic, a Jewish woman who used to write about rock and roll, which is all about, you know, sexual freedom, right? I mean,
right.
Of course, there's Christian rock.
It means fucking.
It in the origin,
right.
The origin of the species rock and roll, yes, it means having sex. It's
humping.
It's
rocking and rolling.
Jelly roll,
right.
And that's what it's about, and that's where she comes from. So, you know, maybe she was hurt. I don't know, or raped or something.
I would wonder about her childhood also. Even growing up.
Or maybe she just got frustrated that she could not... I mean, I don't know about her childhood. Yeah, of course, that would be interesting to know about. I don't know that. But I'm just guessing that maybe, you know, she had a certain level of fame.
Right.
With what she was doing.
And the Internet kind
of
took that away.
But not a high level.
Right.
Yeah. And
because now everybody's a rock and roll reviewer.
Yeah, exactly. It's so common to review rock and roll. Big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but to come out as a hip...
Right.
Fast-talking, proponent of the new chastity.
Right.
Well, that gets you all kinds of fame and notoriety,
right,
and speaking engagements.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to get speaking engagements talking about rock and roll. There's too many people that can do that. Everybody can do that.
You know.
But to support the idea of chastity, she's getting money from the church.
Right.
She's getting support. She's getting speaking engagements. She's speaking at churches everywhere and the college circuit. You know,
you
start to understand, perhaps. Now, I give her the benefit of the doubt. I don't know her. Maybe there are some more kind of soulful reasons for her, you know, revelation.
You know.
But I wonder, and I think, you know, that this might be part of it.
You know, I get spammed every day by the new AT&T. Well, the fact is, it's the same old AT&T, same old story. And whenever somebody puts new in front of one of the oldest concepts.
Right. Well, and I don't know that she puts new really in front of it. Other people do. But I do want to, you know, just say that I'm looking forward to meeting her and being on a panel with her.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to being in the
audience.
You
know, we don't know her. Maybe we will learn some things. Yeah. But from what we can see, and there's a lot on the internet that's by her. She's got a lot of writings. She's got a lot of people writing about her.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, if you start writing about that, everybody will be shocked.
If I started writing about...
All of a sudden you go...
If I converted to become a born again or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably get money from the church.
Right.
I would probably get a lot of money. My goodness.
Somebody.
I would be the convert, the switcheroo.
Yeah.
They do great. They really do well. That, like that other guy that... David Horowitz, he's another one.
Yeah.
David Horowitz was another Jewish radical, you know, red diaper baby, and he became a total Christian right-winger. He gets all kinds of money now. He's all over the college circuit. He's all over the churches, you know, with a name like Horowitz. Oy vey, what would your commie mom think about you now? Well, you know, it's sort of frightening.
Anyway, I know.
But it should be fun.
I know what you're saying, and
God and Goddess knows I wouldn't want to be on a panel where everybody agreed with me.
No, but you know, it's a little bit again. Let me go back to George.
I'm encouraging Joe, the guy that is running the panel, to try to get a Muslim chaplain or somebody.
Now that's
on
more
there.
Interesting in a way, because the Catholics have been discredited totally.
Well, here
in
the West.
You know, I'm a convert.
Islam is more exotic.
I'm a Catholic boy who converted to Judaism. And I don't know if she ever lived the terror of being a little Catholic boy.
No, she did not live the terror of being a little Catholic boy.
Right.
No, she grew up a little Jewish girl.
Jewish girl, so life was really nice.
Yeah, you know.
I, on the other hand, was terrorized by these people. Just like most Catholic children are.
Yeah.
And the stories that they're told.
But isn't it also like nature, the pendulum swings? I mean, she grew up as a kind of Reform Jew. I think practically agnostic, I think. Reform Jewish household. So I'm wondering if she just, you know, felt like she needed to, in order to identify herself, in order to stake her claim in the world, she had to go in the opposite direction, and she went to become a Catholic and this speaker for chastity.
Whatever. These are people that I look at, just like those visitors you had as people who exploit other people.
Those visitors. You mean the Triple X Church guys?
Right.
Yeah.
Who make $600,000 a year.
They're another group of guys that, you know, they do make a lot of money. These religion people get a lot of support.
Right.
Faith-based programs.
Right. To go out and tell fairy tales.
And the churches that support them are tax exempt.
Right.
I, on the other hand, have to work.
Right.
Yeah. I have to work for people.
Yeah, and, you know, I might add that kind of mentality, that kind of mentality that she has, has put many people in prison, including myself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, but
so
they want to put people
in
prison.
It's a violent...
That's the whole idea.
Yeah, it is a violent...
It's violent,
yeah,
yes.
It's a violent view of the universe, and it's a...
violence is fetishized.
Yeah, it's a violent view of the universe, and it's a violent...
The Bible is full of violence.
Yeah.
God is a violent concept in the Old Testament, very violent. Actually, in the Old and New Testament, because in the Old Testament, God, who is considered male, is constantly telling all his prophets and main guys to go, you know, destroy other groups. And then in the New Testament, God basically has his own son killed in a very painful, drawn-out way.
By the way, I just want to insert something in here. The identification law, which is Christian-based,
mm-hmm.
2257, where anyone that takes their clothes off in front of a camera has to be photographed. They're already photographed. They have to have an ID. Okay, they have to have an ID, and the government needs to have their picture on file. The government needs to have their address, phone number, and location at all times, okay, has been struck down by the 6th District Court, one of the very conservative courts, as unconstitutional.
Mm.
So... That's a big...
That's very good.
And that's coming from conservatives.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that little by little there is progress in human civilization. We are opening up.
Well, we never go back totally.
No, we basically take, you know, the
we
two step forward,
right.
One step back, or
right.
One and a half step backs, you
right.
know. But now I guess... Yeah, there are steps being taken forward. That's definitely a step forward.
Oh, it's totally different than when I grew up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
And Don Eden would like to take us back a little bit.
And I would like to tell her about this girl who was having sex when she was 14 years old with some of the boys in junior high school, and she was brought before the auditorium and basically called a whore. And the auditorium was told that anyone that was found walking her home or associating with her would be suspended from school. When I told my father that, he said, you walk her home tomorrow.
Okay, well, Dawn would have said that you two are going to hell, I guess. I guess. I don't know. I think she would say that you two are both going to go to hell.
You know... She doesn't know what hell is. She didn't grow up as a Catholic.
But anyway, whether you go to hell or not, of course, she doesn't know. But I think she would say that you two should be punished
somehow. You
know,
that's interesting.
Society should punish the whores and the sluts.
I find that very, very arrogant to be able to talk about Catholicism and not having grown up with it.
Well, you can convert to Catholicism. Come on, Catholicism is all about conversion.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
you can convert.
Missionaries
to
run around converting people all the time, so that's just fine. That's okay.
But as a journalist, I think you have a responsibility to present a clear case.
You know, I don't know if she considers herself a journalist anymore. I think that she was fired from her job at the New York, the New York Post, or was it the New York Post?
I had about to tell her about it.
Because what happened was they said, you know, the New York Post is already conservative enough. We don't want to be too identified as Christian, and what you write is too Christian now. So
well,
I think they
I would
let her
like
go.
To talk to her about Cousin Diane.
Cousin Diane?
Yes, your Cousin Diane.
Why? What, that she's Jewish, but she was a nun?
Right, but she
was a nun.
Well,
she was a novice.
You know,
right.
So, all right, well, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
You know.
You know.
Anyway, she should be interesting to...
I disagree with you. I find it very damaging to young children and to young people.
You disagree with what?
I don't find any of this very interesting. I think it's damaging to young people. I think it's not the truth.
Well, but these are different points of view that, this is a panel.
Yeah, no, I understand, and that's a different point. I'm just talking about her personally. I think that what she does is damaging to young people.
Well, I agree.
Just like pornography, she might say.
No, I think she's damaging,
yeah,
too.
But I think that that's damaging.
Yeah, anyway. I think so, too. I would agree with
you. Who else is on the panel?
Let's see. There's this guy whose name I forget. Who is, he's kind of famous in some parts of the East Coast. He does a comedy routine, and he's like gay, but he doesn't want to be identified as gay. And he's kind of, he doesn't like sexual labels.
Okay.
You know, okay. And he's spiritual. He's spiritual.
I agree with that.
And so he's kind of, you know, on the liberal side of things, and he's kind of a spiritual gay comedian, you know.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's pretty fun, and I think he's pretty good looking, too, from I saw him, but I forget his name. Sorry!
I think very enlightening, too, to be able to tell the story of these things in a fun way.
Yeah, and of course, it is human nature to label people, and I label people. I'm calling him gay, you know. I'm calling him a comedian. That's a label, too. I'm sure he's more than just a comedian, and of course he's more than just gay. And I can appreciate he's sort of a poet, and he doesn't like labels. So that's where he's coming from.
Well, poets have rights that religious people don't.
They do. Well, poets are not trying to convert people or trying to tell people how to live, really.
They're just telling stories.
They're telling stories, right, in kind of interesting ways. And
that
might open people's minds, you know. So that's what he does. And he'll be doing a performance after the panel. So it's going to be a very active evening. I'm doing my tea, then we have the panel, then we watch his performance.
Right.
You know, and then we get very drunk somewhere. On
some
abstinence. I mean, yeah. So, you know, like I said, he's trying to get a rabbi from Slivka Center, actually. And he's also trying to, since I said to him, why don't you get a Muslim on here? He's going to try to do that.
Well, he should.
And then, you know, she's kind of a Catholic, but there should probably be, like, a born-again type Christian. And, you know, if they can get one, a Hindu or a Buddhist or a, you know, what else is there?
Okay, no, that's good.
Yeah. So good. This should be pretty interesting, I think.
All right. Well,
Sex
good.
Week at Yale. We've
Coming
never
up.
Sex Week at Yale, you know, this is the fourth Sex Week. They haven't had events on Sundays because they didn't want to offend the religious people.
Uh-huh.
So now we are having a Sunday event, sex and religion.
Right.
What about sex and religion? You like that? Or sex and spirituality?
You know, there have been so many panels like that.
I know.
Either one is fine. I mean, that's what we're doing. It's not sex and cars.
It's probably not about
sex
cars.
Sex and philosophy or spirituality or, you know. I like sex and philosophy because religions are philosophies in a way.
Nah, religions are not really. I mean, they have philosophy, but religions are so based on mythology. I mean, the whole Virgin Mary concept, is that philosophy?
You don't believe in that?
Well.
Come on.
That's critical. You have to believe in it. There has to be a faith-based aspect to the religion for it to be a religion. Philosophy is not faith-based. Philosophy is about reason.
Right. Okay.
Philosophy is based
you
on reason.
Me.
That's
okay.
Right. It's not about sex and philosophy, or else you wouldn't have any of these people.
Right.
I mean, you think this is a philosophy? This is not a philosophy.
New chastity?
No. This is based on superstitions and mythology.
You know, one of the things that I certainly... I already don't like the woman. I don't know her. But we also sell chastity belts.
We do.
Yes,
yeah, we do. That's true.
So, you know, if you're that way, you can...
That's true. I should let her know that.
And
we have chastity belts.
You can't control yourself.
Actually, that's very funny. Right. I should really...
You can find it at drsusanblock.com.
Yeah, that's very funny. You're right. We sell chastity belts.
I mean, we're not totally, you know, ignorant here.
No.
Or totally...
We recognize chastity as a fetish.
As a fetish, and if you really want to be chaste, then you...
Great.
And you can't control yourself, there's for your husband, there's a chastity belt that you can lock up and keep the wife safe, and safe from yourself, although it's not going to prevent masturbation.
And if you want to keep yourself safe, if you're single and you don't have anyone to hold the key, send it to me.
Right.
I'll hold on to it. I actually hold on to some keys to chastity belts. I do.
Yeah,
I have
we also sell holy crosses. I mean, we're not totally...
Jesus jackhammer dildos?
Right. Well, we don't want to mention that.
Well, just saying.
Yale.
Well.
But chastity belts say, look, you know, we may not agree, but I certainly give the opportunity for any Catholic or chaste person to...
Chase.
They don't fall overboard.
Right.
So we're a helping hand.
We can be. We're, you know, open to all kinds of fantasies and fetishes. The chastity belt.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know what? If she agrees to sell them, then I will have some respect for at least her sense of humor.
Well, then we share economic
interests.
So
yeah,
that's
that would
okay.
Be cool.
Then
you
can be a Catholic and I can be a Jew and you can be a Muslim, but we can trade. You know, we can trade and be flexible. And
I mean, you know, she's talking about keeping your clothes on. I mean, if you're wearing a chastity belt... You know, and the guy pulls your skirt up and he finds the chastity belt, which isn't just a belt, of course. It's a whole, you know, kind of panty thing that you wear that's, like, locked up.
Right.
That's metal.
Right.
And that would definitely be a deterrent.
That would, especially the ones with spikes on them.
Ah. Oh. Yeah, that's for the Catholics.
You couldn't even have outer sex because...
Right.
The poor Pinus.
Yeah, she doesn't want you to have
would be in great danger.
She doesn't consider that sex. I'm a little confused by her whole thing. But then again, religion is always confusing. Faith doesn't have to make sense. It's not about making sense.
The purpose.
And, you know, in a way, I have to say this. I have to say this because we're going to close soon. But I have this love-hate thing about the religious people because they make no sense, okay. And they cause a lot of harm, and they make people very screwed up, especially young people. I mean, I think that's their worst effect is on young people, making people feel like they're weird, like they're perverts, like they're doomed, like they're wrong, just because they are normal. And yet, I have this great kind of admiration for how carried away the religious people get in some of their religious ceremonies, like the Hasidic Jews dancing, like the born-again Christians, you know, like, you know, hallelujah, and the Catholics, too. I mean, they have their mysticism, and I don't know, it's kind of seductive.
Well, yeah, when you're a little kid and you're brought to the altar to drink the blood of Christ.
That must be scary.
That's really scary. You know? I mean, can you imagine? All right, now. you're gonna drink the blood of Christ. Now, you know, you're like a kid. So.
But you know it's grape juice or whatever.
No, because the priest turns it into the blood of Christ.
Right, right.
It's not like... It's wine, first of all, you know, and it's turned into the blood of Christ. My family used to produce the tears of Christ, which is okay, but the blood of Christ...
The tears of Christ.
Yeah, it's a wine.
Oh, I see. Is that the white wine?
No, it's actually blood red.
Really? Tears, red tears. Ooh.
Red tears, yeah.
Okay, well, you know...
The pain, guys on the cross.
Wine is divine. Yeah, okay, well, it's fascinating, you know, and I guess what I'm saying is I do understand what why spirituality and religion, organized spirituality, does hold a fascination for people, and that we're not going to get rid of it, you know, because
All right.
people are seduced.
We've got 10 minutes left. basically. You want to give out the number one more time, or anybody that wants to talk to us that is in the waiting room?
If you're in the listening area of Skype and you would like to talk, we are talking mostly about sex and God tonight, sex and religion, sexuality and spirituality. Let's see, we have Peter XXX. Hello?
Go ahead, Peter.
Peter? You know, he's been listening the whole time.
Peter, are
you
there?
No, he just moved himself down. Okay. I think he moved himself into waiting by accident.
Fine.
And he did that, I think he listens a lot, but he doesn't. So if you want to talk, put yourself into waiting. Please don't put yourself into waiting unless you actually want to talk. But if you want to talk, you can ask a question, tell a story, share a fantasy. Just put yourself into the waiting room, and
really
we'll put you in the talking area.
I'd really like to hear from someone what they think.
Well, I would too, but I don't know. They're not putting themselves in.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
You know.
So, telephone number. If you're in North America, you can call our toll-free number, which is 1-866-289-7068. Anywhere else in the world, it's 213-749-1330. So, there they are. They're not...
Okay, that's fine.
You know.
So
Hillary won in Florida.
Hillary won. We're flying JetBlue, right?
Oh, I thought you'd want to talk about Hillary winning.
Oh, Hillary. Yeah, well, I know she's going to win.
Okay.
Listen.
So we should talk about JetBlue.
Well, no, I just going to mention JetBlue.
We are flying JetBlue. You hear that?
Right.
JetBlue. Okay.
And if you're in New York, in the
area...
We
like JetBlue.
If you're in New York, in the area...
Leather seats for everyone.
Right. Your own television screen, you know.
Mm. And a kind of a nice atmosphere.
Right. And I think JetBlue, either it's JetBlue or the Virgin Airline, the mystical airline, now has, on some flights, has you can use your cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, no. You can't use your cell phone. You have internet connection.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
Okay, so we're going to be flying JetBlue to New York, where we are going to have a East Coast premiere of Blonde Island Funk Me being featured as part of the CineKink Film Festival at the Pioneer Theater in Manhattan on Tuesday night, February 12th.
So if you're in New York City, join us.
Join us.
Right.
Opportunity to meet us.
And if you're near Yale, let us know.
Yeah, actually, I think the panel is open. I think the tea is only open to Yale people.
Right.
But the panel might be open to New Haven, to anybody.
Right.
So that's on the 17th, Sex Week at Yale. And let's see. Hillary Rodham Clinton finished Tuesday's Florida Democratic primary with more votes than any other Democrat, but the event drew no campaigning by any of her presidential rivals and awarded no delegates to the winner. Well, so what is it? Why do they do that? But Clinton promptly declared it a welcome victory. The New York senator, fresh off her lopsided loss to Barack Obama in last weekend's South Carolina primary, arranged a rally in the state as the polls were closing, an evident attempt to gain campaign momentum. And I must say, she's got this cute girl in the front that looks just like a young Hillary Clinton with the same hairstyle. And she's got a T-shirt that says Team Hillary.
Let me put in a plug here. I don't vote.
Yeah.
At all, ever since... I was at Robert Kennedy's primary victory in California, where he was assassinated. And so I'm a Kennedy fan, because I know the Kennedys are split now. I'm a Kennedy fan that supports Hillary, and I just want to see Bill. I think it would be fabulous to have a first man
in
the White House.
I do, too.
It's so historic and so... You know,
and a first man that's already been president, won't feel, emasculated by it.
And
he's already been president.
And I think that Obama can be president in a few years. I have no faith in him right at this point, especially after I found out that, of course, he wasn't a senator when he was doing
it. Right, that's a little bit of a kind of unknown truth that
right.
he was against the war when he was running for senator.
Right, so was I. You know, so I mean,
what does that mean? But a key thing is being a senator
right.
and having all that money supporting
right.
you, being in the Senate already
right.
and being able to vote no. And I guess he didn't really do that. He didn't vote no.
No, and not only that, once he became a senator, he voted to fund the war.
Uh-huh.
And this is also the same guy that's going to invade Pakistan.
Right.
And this is the same guy that said, I'm not going to run right now because I don't want to split the Democratic Party, and then runs.
Yeah. So, you know, he's kind of slippery.
Yeah, so if I can get you to vote for Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, because that's who's running here. There's the president,
yeah.
and then there's the ex-vice,
yeah,
the ex-president.
Yeah, certainly when he said you get two for one before, right. you get two for one now, too.
Right. And I think the world needs a lot of stability and knowledge now, because one of the first things that has to be done when you become president of the United States is, of course, forget the terrorist. You got to deal with Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Because everybody in Washington is out to undermine you.
Yeah.
So that's a huge...
Okay, we have Bruce Wood in waiting. Okay. Let's just say hello.
Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
Hi, Suzanne and Max.
Hello.
Yeah, he's there.
How's it going?
Good. What's going on with you?
I want to thank you for your show. Just fine here. I was a little late, so I couldn't say something about your topic about
absolutely
religion and
yeah.
Oh, religion. Okay, we can go back to religion.
Yeah,
sure.
But I was really impressed by Max said that he witnessed the assassination of President Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy.
Yep. So, I was really impressed.
That he witnessed the assassination. He wasn't actually in the kitchen.
I wasn't in the pantry, but...
he was outside, right outside in the hall.
We were waiting in the ballroom, and I was outside when they took him out in the stretcher, bleeding.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And you also a Chapman Moore fan, right? Remember me?
Who's there?
Who's there?
Bruce.
Bruce.
Bruce from China.
Bruce from China.
Hi, Bruce.
Right.
Hi. How are you? Yes, and I'm also, and you can call me a communist or whatever you want. I'm a big Mao Zedong fan. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty all the time. I want to say hi to you and make sure you have a great time there.
Well, we're have a great time. You mean?
Oh, at Yale.
At Yale.
Yale University, right?
That's where we're going.
Yeah, that's where we're going. We're going to Yale.
So,
have a fifth grade there.
What is do you have a religion? Do you practice a religion, Bruce?
Nope.
No.
I believe Anthony Robbins. I'm reading his classes now. I'm studying his classes.
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins. Okay.
You know?
All right, that's good.
Why not?
Hey.
He's kind of new age.
Hey, listen, one of the things that I loved about the Communist Party, all right, mm-hmm. one of the things that I really loved is that they banned religion.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I think the communists were dangerous, but I think religion is way more dangerous. So, you know?
It's interesting to think, is Tony Robbins like a religious leader?
No, but he's...
But he does teach people how to, like, walk on fire.
Right, right.
And do things they didn't think they could do.
Right, right. He's a motivator.
He's a motivator. And a lot of religious people, are,
right.
that's the best side of religion, is to motivate people to do what they think they can't do.
Mm-hmm. And that is to break away from getting out of the box, to break away from the ideas that we had, to have success and pride in our life, you know. I mean, I don't dislike Tony Robbins, you know. Let's
no.
put it that way. I love Mao Zedong. So,
okay.
You know.
But we can't vote here. We envy you that you can vote for the candidates of president, but we can't vote.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know what? We
that
can't.
The companies, we should improve.
You know what? We can't really vote here either because it doesn't matter. It's Democrats or the Republicans. They are both capitalists.
Yep.
They are both capitalists.
How about you, Max? If you want to run for the president, you have to pay some deposit or...
If you want to run for president,
yeah.
It's going to cost you millions.
Well, not necessarily. We're running for president, actually.
Well,
it's not costing
Susan
us very
is
much.
Is running for vice president.
I am running for vice president.
You know, but nobody wants to give us any money.
No, that's true. That's true. But we're still running. A write-in vote.
I could vote for Susan.
Frank Moore is our presidential candidate. And you can find his platform on frankmooreforpresident.com.
He's a very interesting man. If you like Robbins, this guy...
Oh, he's very motivational.
Absolute motivator.
Absolutely, yes. And very spiritual.
Okay.
He's a man who's in a wheelchair. He can't speak.
Oh,
he's an artist. He's a politician. He was brought before the Senate. He was harassed.
And he's running for president.
And he's running for president. And the doctors told him that he wouldn't live past 16. And he's now 60-something, almost 60.
Yeah, very active.
Oh, my God.
Has a long-term girlfriend, plus a lot of other women that love him.
And a communist commune.
Like
yeah.
Karen Keller? Like Helen, the blind.
He's not blind. Yeah, kind of like that in the sense that he has a lot of physical problems. But he can see, he can hear, he's very smart. He knows everything that's going on. He just has no control over his limbs, his hands and feet, mm-hmm. and he can't speak. But he can use his head with a pointer to communicate via the computer as well as on this board, and he does communicate. He's amazing.
And Bruce, you should go to his site. It's really, he's just an extraordinary man. Just an extraordinary.
Yeah, the easier address is aeroplay.com.
Aeroplay.com.
And then from there you can find the Frank Moore for President and all the other stuff.
I think
very cool guy.
I think you'll enjoy him. He also has a band. I mean, this guy is extraordinary, you know.
Yeah, he is.
And the thing that I like about him, he's pretty much a socialist communist, which I am. And, you know, I think that we work not only for the good of ourselves, we work for the good of the people and the universe. You know, we're all on one little rock here, you know.
Global village. That's getting smaller and smaller. All right, Bruce, we've got to close up tonight. But
thank you for calling.
Great to talk to you. And oh, yes.
We'll
talk
to you soon.
We love to communicate with everyone, but especially China.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely am a big fan and I look forward to a balance of power again in the world, because when the Russians collapsed, the Americans became
went a little hog wild,
and they became big bullies. And not all of us in America are that way.
No.
So
anyway, some of us are bonobos, not bullies. So we want you to be like bonobos if you listen to us and you care. Be like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, broadcasting from our home studios in various parts of the world, actually, because of the technology. And always thrilling to hear people from other parts of the world and realize that we're in the same world. It's not some weird world or strange world. It's just a world that's full of ideas, full of conflicts, and full of joy in a way. And it is paradise on earth. And we do have the vision and we do have the power within ourselves to change the world. We may not be able to change everybody in the world, but we can change our world. From our house to your house, thank you for having us, and we'll talk to you, Skype willing. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. And in the meantime, I'm going to switch you over to a pre-recorded audio tape. This is totally unedited, so sometimes there's silence, sometimes things go on, sometimes there's yelling and screaming, but I'm going to put it up for you, and you can listen for as long as you like. If not, there's many other wonderful places to go visit. You're listening to Radio Susie 1 on the World Wide Web, and you can find us at drsusanblock.com.
Things going?
Well, we're...
what's buzzing?
We're very spiritual here. I've only just begun, and I've got the Jesus Jackhammer out, which is very effective. I've tried it myself because I had to do a little test drive. And not only is it inspiring to look at with its marbleized texture and its intricate design, but it is a very effective implement of pleasure as well.
Well, he said that when you can't get nailed, you should use him to make, and that's what
something.
You're doing.
Yes, well, he